We will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise in tithe
in my sorrows. I'm oppressed, persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure. That His joy is gonna be my strength. The sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes in.
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children, the children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children, the children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you, within you. He's with you, He's with you. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you, within you. He's with you, He's with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your calling and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, He is for you, He is for you. In the morning, in the evening, in your calling and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, He is for you, He is for you. He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you.
Church, I want you to know this morning that He is for you. Those issues that we deal with in life, those hurts, those pains, those sufferings, He is still with us, still leading us, still seeing us through, and He cares about every detail of what we're dealing with. He wants to give you strength. He wants to give you victory. He wants to help you through those troubled times. You know what it takes? Give me Jesus. Help me, Lord. Give me strength. Give me, help me through this, Father. He is for us. He only has our best in mind. God, I pray that we would learn to surrender. God, I pray that we would learn to lay issues at your feet and leave them there. Lord, forgive us for constantly picking them back up and trying to accomplish things on our own. God, I pray that our hearts would be right and surrender to you. Lord, that you would show us what we need to see, speak to us what we need to hear, reveal to us your plan and purpose that we might, Lord, that we might fit into it and walk in that path that you have paved for us. Oh, Father, help us to trust in you more than ever before. Now, I don't care if we've walked with you for a day or for decades, God, help us to trust in you more. Help us to grow and build our faith in you. Or that we would operate and function in joy all the time. God, speak to your children today. Move us, encourage us. Help us to worship and honor you. Question for you this morning. How many of you enjoy grief? Yeah, I didn't expect to see any hands go up for that one. Grief is not enjoyable. It's not even something we really like to talk about or think about too much. Most often when we mention grief or talk about grief, it's in relation to death. That's the most frequent time we talk about it. However, that's not the only time that we deal with grief in our life, is it? We can grieve a lot of different things. Now, typically, grief occurs when we've lost something. Could be a friendship, could be a job, it could be health, could be reputation. I mean, we can grieve a lot of different things. Even the willful actions of other people can cause grief in our hearts and in our lives. And grief usually triggers some other emotions as well, doesn't it? So I think it's very easy to say, very fair to say, that we don't like grief. We certainly don't like the way it makes us feel. Have you ever stopped for just a moment and thought about if you have perhaps caused grief in someone else? Now, we just said grief can be caused by the willful actions of others, right? What if we're the others? What if we might have caused, what if we're responsible for somebody else's grief? Now, that's a question we are not going to answer this morning. You are going to have to, right? That's a question you need to take to the Lord in your private time and ask Him, what have you done, potentially, to cause grief for someone else? You might be surprised what God points out to you. You might be surprised what He brings to mind. But that's for you to deal with on your own with the Lord. Today, I do want us to consider the possibility of one specific person that we all may have grieved. To do that, we're going to have to read a little scripture first. So if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read from there in just a minute. The book of Ephesians actually contains a fair amount of encouragement in it. And it's encouragement directed at believers, at fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It speaks about maturity. It speaks about unity. It speaks about reconciliation with one another and with God. And in this particular chapter, Paul talks about that unity within the body of Christ. And he talks about living as light, as the children, right? But it's in this portion of Scripture that we're going to read through here shortly that we also hear about grief. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Let me pause for a minute. That's not just talking about physical sex or physical impurity or lust. We can have lust for anything. Money, jobs, fame, fortune. That's what that's talking about. Okay, continue on. You, however, do not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up in accordance to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Last week we talked about Acts chapter 2, and we talked about the miracle that God did through those 12 unschooled, ordinary men, how He filled them with the Holy Spirit and worked through them. And it was primarily, a lot of it had to do with their obedience and their trust and their faith, because they were willing to go and do and be who Christ said they should be. He worked and moved through them. I made the comment last week, and it was kind of harsh of me, I know, but it was truthful. I made the comment last week that if we're not interested in that kind of a relationship with God, then we should just go home. If we're not interested in growing and maturing and becoming who He wants us to be, why are we here? Why are we pretending? Today, I want to look at kind of a whole opposite perspective here. We talked about the disciples being obedient and Pentecost and how God poured out His Spirit on them. Today we're going to kind of go to the opposite direction and said, what happens if we don't do any of that stuff? What happens if we don't listen? If we don't trust? If we don't put our faith and hope where it should be? What happens if we just continue in our sins and do what we want to do, outside of the fact that we lose that eternal hope, right? Being filled by the Holy Spirit, being filled by God, should be a daily desire of every born-again believer. From the moment we're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. But every day we ought to be praying, Lord, let Your Spirit work in me. Let Your Spirit work through me. Help me to minister to others. Lord, minister to me. We should every day be praying for that. And if that is not our focus, then have we ever considered the thought that maybe we're grieving the Holy Spirit? Ever stopped to think about maybe we're causing pain? Let's look to this scripture here, because there's a lot of information in this text. There's a lot that Paul tells us to do or not to do. But in the midst of it all, he tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It was just a few moments ago we all agreed that grief was a bad thing, right? We all agreed that it was undesirable. We all agreed that we don't want to deal with it, right? But what about the grief we're causing? We said perhaps we're causing grief to others by our actions, by the things. But what about grieving God? That's an even bigger question to ponder, is it not? Do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Did we even know or think that that was possible? Have we ever reflected on that before? We're going to look at this kind of from two perspectives or two pieces this morning. Personally, have we grieved the Holy Spirit with our lives personally? And then corporately, has the church grieved the Holy Spirit? I think the answer to, honestly, both of those questions is an absolute yes. Personally, we have, at some point in our lives, maybe even already this morning, grieved the Holy Spirit. Look at what Paul talked about in that text. Let me read just a portion of it again to you. put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires. Put off falsehoods. Speak truthfully to your neighbors. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. That's a list of what we're supposed to be doing. And there's a lot in that one verse, or in that one section of verses, yet alone the rest of Scripture. There's a lot there for us to digest. And there is not one of us in this room or listening to this message this morning that can stand up and say, I have complied with all of that. Whether you are born again, saved or not, there's not one of us that can say we're innocent of causing grief. Perhaps one of the biggest issues that's plaguing people today is this whole concept of forgiveness, or unforgiveness as it really is, right? Any of these issues can trip us up. Any of these issues do trip us up. But unforgiveness is a huge issue that we need to learn to deal with as believers. I'm not going to go into that. That'll be a whole message all by itself. But unforgiveness is a huge issue. There's no question, folks. Absolutely none. I want you to know, I, in a lot of respects, am a failure. I have spoken unkindly to people. Ask my wife and kids, they'll tell you. I have spoken unkind. I have definitely had anger issues. Some of you aren't familiar with me and my past and who I was before I was saved, but anger was a huge problem for me. I can't say that I've mastered it all today, because that would be a lie. That's another sin. But anger was an issue for me before I was saved. When I was saved early on in my life, when I got mad, I would hit things. I would punch things. And I was aggressive with my anger. It was never people. It was never people. But when I was angered, I would lash out. First vehicle I ever owned, I was 17 years old, I bought a brand new Toyota pickup truck. First vehicle I ever owned. Now, it wasn't long before that vehicle had dents in it, because I would hit it. It became my punching bag. My anger would flare up and I would lash out. I'm not a compassionate person. My kids fall, they scrape their knee, I tell them to rub some dirt on it and keep moving. I'm not a compassionate person. I've lied. Unwholesome talk has come out of these lips more than once. In a number of ways, I have grieved the Holy Spirit. Truth be told, I still grieve the Holy Spirit. Because I'm not perfect. I still battle my flesh every day. I still battle sin every day. I know I'm better than I used to be. But I still grieve the Holy Spirit. How many of us still keep secret rooms of bitterness hidden away in our hearts? How many of us still have a forbidden dungeon of unforgiveness locked away that we won't talk to anybody about? We think we've done a masterful job of hiding those things from everybody. Well, I'm a believer. I can't deal with that stuff, so they can't know about it. And we think we've done a great job of hiding it, but guess what? God still knows. God still sees. And God is still grieved by those actions that we have not dealt with. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you feel right now at this moment? How do you feel knowing you have caused grief to God? And you have caused grief to the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get bogged down here. Obviously, God is willing to forgive. God is willing to set us free. God is willing to heal that. God is willing to help us come through all of that grief. God is able to restore us. But guess what? It takes a willing heart. It takes confession. It takes repentance. It takes a willingness to deal with those issues that we have buried away and hidden from people. Absolutely appropriate this morning. It takes us saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Help me deal with that stuff. Forgive me for the grief I have caused. If we continue to bury all that stuff, if we continue to ignore all that stuff, then we continue to grieve the Holy Spirit. Look at these words that Paul spoke here towards the end, verses 17, 18, right in there. I tell you this, I insist on it. No longer live as the Gentiles do. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. Have we hardened our hearts to the things of God? Are we in this veil of darkness because we're in denial? Are we willing to allow God to shine a little light on the inside so that we can deal with these things? Because, folks, our sin grieves God. It can't be said any simpler than that. Our sin grieves God. And here's where our mindset gets messed up just a little bit, folks. There's no hierarchy to sin. This sin isn't less of an issue than this sin. This sin isn't more of a problem than this sin over here. Sin is sin. There's an even playing field. If you've broken the law at any one point, you've broken the law. But we have this mentality that grief and all of this issue that we're talking about is reserved for somebody who has committed murder or rape or some other big sin that we label them. Folks, sin is sin. Lying, cheating, slandering, unforgiveness, all of it grieves God along with our disobedience and our indifference. Those are all things that are a problem that we should be praying against. Sadly, the same is true for the church today. The church today, at very least here in America, the church today, in my humble opinion, is absolutely grieving God. Now, I'm not talking about sanctuary specifically. I'm talking about the church. But sanctuary falls into this. We're not excluded from it. We have compromised so much as a church. We have fallen so far from what once was important to us. We have allowed anything and everything to enter into the church, and we've said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Well, in some cases, let me be very clear, the Holy Spirit has been kicked out of the church. He didn't leave on his own. He was kicked out. Because people chose to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. People have chosen to go in directions that are not pleasing to God, and the church has pushed the Holy Spirit out. Where do we fit into that? As a church, as sanctuary, where do we fit into that? Have we grieved God in that? Have we quenched the moving of the Holy Spirit? Have we said, no, I don't have time for you. I don't have time for that. I'm not going to do that. Where are we in that? And I'm not looking for an answer. I'm just looking for us to think about it. Where are we in all of that? I've heard people say, many people say, time after time, why don't we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the church anymore today? Why is he not moving and functioning and active like he used to be? My reply is going to be simple and easy. We don't let him. We don't let him. Whatever our reasoning is, whatever our thought process is, we're too afraid, we're too selfish, I don't know. But I do know that God wants a willing heart. He's not going to force you to do something. God's going to lay something on you and you have to just do it. That's how the Holy Spirit functions. It's been said he's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself on you. He's waiting for your response. We can't be self-centered about it because when we are, we grieve God. A.W. Tozer once said, if the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we are doing would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit of God had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. A.W. Tozer died in 1963. So he said that more than 60 years ago. 60 years ago, he sensed an issue in the church that, folks, has not gotten any better since. This really shouldn't be hard to see if we take some open, honest evaluation. We should be able to clearly see that as a church, as the church, we have grieved the Holy Spirit. And as the church, we need to repent. We need to be on our face before the Lord. We need to be seeking his forgiveness and reconciliation for all of those things in our lives, all of those things we have or haven't done as a body that calls themselves a believers in Jesus Christ. The question is, are we ready for that? Are we willing to do that? Because for that to occur, it takes some self-sacrifice. It takes some real heart examination to be able to step out and say, use me, Lord. In addition to the acts we do as individuals and as a church, we struggle with excuses and rationalizations, and we are the kings and queens of that. Jody and I will joke around about this from time to time. When we're having an argument or a discussion, we'll talk about how we can justify anything. I can make it sound good. I can make it work to my favor, but is that right? Just because we can justify it doesn't mean it is what it's supposed to be. I've had believers, and I want to preface this real quick. What I'm about to say is not directed at anybody in particular this morning. I don't want to make anybody feel bad, and I don't have anybody. I want to be cautious. I'm throwing this up here because I've heard something said, and I got to be honest. This kind of typifies where we are as the church. I have heard, not one, not two, I have heard several people tell me when their marriage is falling apart that God has told them to get a divorce. Now, folks, divorce is not the unforgivable sin. It is not. God forgives, God cleanses, God heals, God makes wholeness. And the Word even has, you know, talks about things that are permissible as far as divorce. Divorce is not unforgivable. I just want to be very clear with that this morning. But God's Word says He hates divorce. That was not the original plan. That was not the original intention. That's not how he wanted things to go. So when somebody tells me that God told them to file for divorce or to get, I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time that God would tell you to do something that God clearly says He hates. But we are people that justify and rationalize and try to come up with all those different things in our lives. Now that is just an example. Again, please forgive me. I'm not condemning anybody. This isn't about anybody in particular. I'm just trying to make a point here this morning. When we blame God, whether it's for that or anything else, when we blame God, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we yell at God because we're sick and we can't get healed, or we're in pain and we don't want to deal with it anymore, or we lost our job and we don't know how they're going to pay the mortgage, when we blame God, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, we can have a conversation with God. We can pray about it. We can talk to Him. But when we stand up here and say, God, You didn't do it my way, that's a problem. When the pastor stands at the pulpit and proclaims to the whole world that it's okay to live the way the Bible condemns, that pastor is grieving the Holy Spirit. When the church allows him to do it, the church is grieving the Holy Spirit. It's wrong. You cannot preach falsehoods and please God. You cannot support someone who preaches falsehoods and please God. It cannot be done. You cannot live as you have always lived, doing as you have always done, and please God. And if we're not pleasing God, folks, what are we doing but grieving God? Grief is not something we like to think about, but it is absolutely something every one of us are guilty of doing. Once upon a time, we might have had a better understanding of that. Once upon a time, I said this last week, these altars would have been filled with people repenting and turning and seeking the Lord. But we as churches, we have as people have failed to realize how our sin, our willful everyday sin, affects our relationship with our God. And how that sin causes grief. Every day we need to be repenting of that grief that we have caused. Today we tend to justify, welcome people in, whatever action they want to continue in. I mean, don't misunderstand me. The church is a hospital for the sick. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I welcome anybody to walk in the door. Absolutely. But we don't stay who we are. We change. And we change in accordance with the Word of God. So while the church was once known as a hospital where the spiritually sick would come and get well, today we treat it more like a social club. Do I fit in? Are they like me? Are they like-minded? Do they accept me? Am I comfortable there? It's not the hospital it used to be. Scripture tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I can't help but wonder, is that even on our radar? Do we even think about, do we ask the Lord to show us how we have grieved Him? And then repent and seek forgiveness. Grief is extremely, extremely real, and usually, in my experience, very emotionally painful. And yet it's possible we might be guilty of causing that kind of grief to our God. Ask yourself, are you guilty? Are you guilty of causing grief? One of the worst things we can do is think about God as this untouchable entity, that he's, oh, some big thing way out there, and I don't have any real association. Folks, God is our Father. He is our Abba Father. You want to cause your father grief? Is that your plan? Is that your goal? Is that your desire? I don't think so. But are you thinking along those lines? Because we need to change that. Our actions, our words need to be different. Our heart needs to be changed. And we need to say, God, forgive me for the grief that I cause. My brothers and sisters in Christ, or certainly God, forgive me for grieving the Holy Spirit. Lord, and we come before you this morning and pray just that. Lord, forgive us. There's probably a great number of us who have never even considered this scripture before. We just haven't thought about it, Lord. We read all those do's and don'ts, change this, change that, be like this, be like that. But we don't connect the idea that when we don't, we cause grief. We cause pain in a way. Lord, I know it's been said before, when we sin, we crucify you all over again. That's the same kind of concept here. There's grief, there's pain being caused by us to you. Lord, forgive us. Lord, have mercy on us. Cleanse us. Help us, Lord, on a daily basis to be surrendered to you and to deal with any wrong, any injustice, any sin that we have caused grief in others or grief in you. Forgive us, Lord.
Would shine through us, and that all men would be drawn unto Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. In Jesus' name we pray.